RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo hopes train service in Padang Airport can operate in 2016. Australia sends special team to extinguish fires in Sumatra. Indonesian construction market the largest in ASEAN. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hoped on Saturday that train service connecting the city of Padang to Minangkabau International Airport would be operated in 2016. He hopes that next year it can be operated. The railway stretching 23 kilometers connects the airport with a number of stations in the city. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo also said that all airports in Indonesia are expected to have a transportation system that connects the airports with the cities. He hopes that all airports are connected with the city by train or tram, depending on the city, he added. Currently, only Kuala Namu Airport in Medan, North Sumatra is already connected by the train to the city. In the meantime, train service connecting Jakarta with Soekarno-Hatta Airport in Cikarang is under construction. 18 pro-Australia participate in the existing to put out fires due to forest and peatland fires in the number of areas in Indonesia was scheduled to arrive in Palembang, South Sumatra on Sunday. It was convened by Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grishon and Chief of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB Sutopo Purwanugroho, in a press conference on Sunday. According to Sutopo, the team consists of 12 personnel and the plane that will extinguish the fire, Thor type Hercules L-100 with a capacity of 15 tons of water, will arrive on Wednesday next week. Sutopo added that there were no certain arguments between Indonesia and Australia on this matter. It is all based on humanitarian reason. When a country's disaster is appropriate to help each other. Director General of Construction of the Public Works Minister and Public Housing of Indonesia, Yusuf Tohid, called on domestic construction companies to improve their competitiveness and participate in the national construction business market. According to Tohid, the market share of construction business in Indonesia has reached 67% of the total market share in Southeast Asia. In the period 2010-2014, he recorded that there were a 50% increase percent in the number of foreign construction companies in Indonesia. In 2010, the minister recorded 195 foreign construction companies and increased to 295 in 2014. Toy revealed the national construction companies had faced a number of issues, including funding, human resources, equipment, and minimum incentive provided by the government. Toy asked the National Construction Development Agency, or LPGK, to set the standard for companies and workers. According to Toy, the construction market in Indonesia ranks fourth after China, Japan, and India. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister of Indonesia Sudirman Said has a different perspective from Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Rizal Ramli over the Freeport's mining operation. Minister Sudirman revealed that the Freeport did not use mercury and produce harmful waste. He affirmed that Freeport only produces concentrate based on physical process. Minister Sudirman dismissed an allegation saying the U.S.-based giant mining company did not provide economic benefits for Indonesia and people in Papua. According to Minister Sudirman, Freeport's projects have had positive impacts on Indonesian economic growth, particularly in Papua. Minister Sudirman revealed that Freeport had allocated at least $18 million for vendors, contractors, and national service providers, including state-owned enterprises and private businesses. Earlier, Minister Rizal Ramli alleged that Freeport had used mercury in its mining operations. According to Minister Rizal, Freeport had taken advantage of relaxed regulation and supervision in Indonesia. He also alleged PT Freeport Indonesia as one of three gold and copper mining companies causing poverty among people living near mines. Home Affairs Minister of Indonesia Cahyokumolo said the government hoped that 2017 simultaneous regional election would adopt the E-voting system. However, he said to implement the E-voting system in the election, all Indonesian citizens must already have EKTP and EID card by 2016. For the record, there are currently 170 million citizens who already have an EKTP and around 1 million do not have it yet. Minister Cahyo also said his ministry continues to coordinate with city and regency governments so that residents who do not have EKTP yet can be immediately registered to local governments. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB reported that the haze crisis in Sumatra and Kalimantan have led at least 9 people died, either directly or indirectly because of the haze, and affected 40 million people. BNPB also reported that South Sumatra had the most hotspots in Indonesia, amounting to 7,982 hotspots, followed by Central Kalimantan, 5,844 hotspots, and Jambi, 1,169 hotspot. In the meantime, BNPB Chief Stopo Purwonugroho said the agency had spent 385 billion rupiah until September 2015. He also said that BNPB had requested for an additional 700 billion rupiah from Finance Ministry to contain the fires. Supporting team leader of the Trade Expo Indonesia, Tay Raharjo, in an interview with Erwin World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Saturday, said the Minister of Foreign Affairs will help coordinate potential buyers from various countries in the world. Indonesian government through the Minister of Trade will host the 30th Trade Expo Indonesia from October 21st to 25th at Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran. The Minister of Trade is committed to maximizing the increase of trade by encouraging national export through international trade fairs and the largest fair Indonesia, Trade Expo Indonesia TEI 2015. Raharjo said that preparation of TEI has completed for 95% in 2015 and will be attended by 1,146 participants from 59 countries based on the latest data received by the committee on October 2nd. It is likely to change until the opening of the TEI 2015.
Trade Expo yang akan diadakan dari tanggal 21 sampai 25 Oktober di Jakarta.
Trade Expo will be held from October 21st to 25th in Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran. Actually, the preparation has been done since the beginning of this year by sending a letter to all representatives of Indonesia abroad to help coordinate the prospective buyers to be present within the Trade Expo. Today, it is almost final preparation. So, occupancy of the participants themselves is already 95%. Then, the participants from abroad have reached 1,146 per October 2nd. Followed by 59 countries and other preparations are ready. Raharjo also said that the government will target a PNUD in 2015 to amount $1 billion. He hoped that the TEI 2015 will increase the quantity of Indonesian export for 300%, the number of tourists arrival to Indonesia by 20 million people, and to increase the value of foreign investment in the country by 15%, as it has been instructed by President Joko Widodo. The last item, Agam Regency is one of the areas passed by Tour de Singkarak 2015. In the 8th stage, Agam Regency becomes the finish line with the heaviest route for the cyclists. Dozens of curbs and climbing routes are the ones that the cyclists have to pass to the last stage, which is the 9th stage. Agam Regency also becomes the starting point of the 9th stage for the Tour de Singkarak held on Sunday. In the press conference in Agam Regency, West Sumatra on Saturday, Agam Region Indrajati expressed support for the Tour de Singkarak.
Agam menaruh perhatian dan menaruh harapan Tour de Singkarak. Agam fully support and put some hope on Tour de Singkarak. Even though we are not passed by the Tour de Singkarak, we are still lucky. Why? Because if we didn't pass Tour de Singkarak, people will come to Padang Bukit Tinggi Payakumbu. So it means that Agam's people agriculture products will be taken and sold there. So if Tour de Singkarak is not coming, Agam Regency loses the most. So this event is very promising, and that's why we endorse so the event is held every year. Regent Indrajati added that Agam Regency fully support Tour de Singkarak because it can increase Agam's economy and tourism sectors. The ninth stage of Tour de Singkarak was the last one, joined by 62 cyclists. From the eighth stage, the general standpoint is still held by the Iranian rider Arvin Morsemi Kordasi. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here's commentary entitled Giving Girls Their Rights for the Future World. International Day of the Girl Child is an international observance day declared by the United Nations. It is also called the Day of the Girl and the International Day of the Girl. October 11th, 2012 was the first Day of the Girl, and the observation supports more opportunity for the girls and increases awareness of gender inequality faced by girls worldwide based upon their gender. This inequality includes areas such as right to education, nutrition, legal rights, medical care, and protection from discrimination, violence against women, and forced child marriage. On December 19, 2011, the United Nations General Assembly voted to pass a resolution adopting October 11, 2012 as the inaugural International Day of the Girl Child. The resolution states that the Day of the Girl recognizes the empowerment of and investment in girls, which are critical for economic growth and the achievement of all Millennium Development Goals. These include the eradication of poverty, as well as the meaningful participation of girls in decisions that affect them. Girls do have their own place due to their role and position, stated by the Nobel Peace Prize in 2011, Lema Gbowee. Girls are the future of the world. The girls today will determine how the world in the future, which of course is expected much better than the present. And this depends on the quality of the girls today. They're expected to obtain a quality education, to be skilled, trained, and have access to technology. However, in reality, there are at least 62 million girls worldwide who do not attend school for various reasons. This is very saddening because it is just the same as wasting human potential. Quoting an expression of Michelle Obama, education can make girls not quickly get married. With the provision of education, girls will be able to improve the economy of the country. Education can also be a powerful tool for the girls to fight against extremism and violence. It is very unfortunate in many places girls actually receive discriminatory treatment, for example, become victims of violence and also sexual abuse, even to death. There are still a lot of girls who did not receive the same treatment as the boys. Most girls today are those who were born in the new millennium and will have a major role in implementing sustainable development goals. Investment in girls, so that they have good quality at this time, will generate huge profits for the world in the future. Later, they will be the workers, entrepreneurs, political leaders, or housewives who will realize the creation of a world of peace, justice, and prosperity. Time for all parties to put the rights of the girls in the position they should be, such as the rights to education, health, and access to progress, and the most important is the right to feel safe wherever they are. Indeed, the strength of the girls determines the future of the world. The theme launched by the United Nations for the International Day of the Girl this year, Girl Power, a Vision for 2030. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on October 12, 1968, when Republic of Equatorial Guinea gained independence from Spain. The history of Equatorial Guinea is marked by centuries of colonial domination by the Portuguese, British, and Spanish empires, and by the local kingdoms. In March 1968, under pressure from Equatoguinean nationalists and the United Nations, Spain announced that it would grant independence to Equatorial Guinea. A constitutional convention produced an electoral law and draft constitution. In the presence of a UN observer team, a referendum was held on August 11, 1968, and 63% of the electorate voted in favor of the constitution, which provided for a government with a General Assembly and a Supreme Court with judges appointed by the president. In September 1968, Francisco Matias Nguema was elected first president of Equatorial Guinea, and independence was granted on October 12. And the next event was in 1999 when Pervez Musharraf returned to power in Pakistan through a military coup d'etat. Pervez Musharraf is a Pakistani politician and a retired four-star rank army general who tenured as the 10th president of Pakistan from 2001 until tendering resignation to avoid impeachment in 2008. Prior to seizing the control of the government through a military coup d'etat in 1999, Musharraf was serving as the chairman joint chiefs as well as the chief of army staff, the appointments he secured in 1998. Although he was relinquished as chairman joint chiefs in 2001, Musharraf eventually retired from the military service after retiring from the army in 2007. Commissioned from the Pakistan Army in 1964, his military career played an active role in the settlement of the violent civil war in Afghanistan. Musharraf rose to national prominence when he was elevated to the four-star appointments by then Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif on October 1998. As appointed, he was a mastermind of a Kargil infiltration that nearly brought India and Pakistan to the brink of war in 1999. After months of contentious relations with Prime Minister Sharif, a staged military coup d'etat allowed Musharraf to seize the control of the government when he subsequently placed Prime Minister Sharif under a strict house arrest before moving towards a trial against Sharif in Adiyala prison. Advocating for the third way for varying syntheses of conservatism and left-wing ideas, he appointed Shaukat Aziz in place of Sharif and directed policies against terrorism, becoming a key player in the American-led war on terror. As Shaukat Aziz departed as Prime Minister, and after approving the suspension of the judicature branch in 2007, Musharraf dramatically weakened from his position in 2008, tendering his resignation in a threat to face potential impeachment movement led by the ruling Pakistan People's Party in 2008, Musharraf departed to London in self-imposed exile after returning to Pakistan to participate in the general elections held in 2013. While absent from Pakistan, Musharraf engaged in legal battles after the country's high court issued warrants for him and Aziz for their alleged involvement in the assassinations of Benazir Bhutto and Akbar Bukti. Upon his return, Musharraf was disqualified from taking part in the elections by High Court judges in April 2013. On March 31, 2014, Musharraf was booked and charged with high treason for implementing emergency rule and suspending the constitution in 2007. And the last event was in 2002 when Bali bomb blast occurred. The 2002 Bali bombings occurred on October 12, 2002, in the tourist district of Kuta on Indonesian island of Bali. The attack killed 202 people, including 88 Australians, 38 Indonesians, and people from more than 20 other nationalities. A further 209 people were injured. Various members of Jamaah Islamiyah, a violent Islamist group, were convicted in relation to the bombings, including three individuals who were sentenced to death. The attack involved the detonation of three bombs, a backpack-mounted device carried by a suicide bomber, a large car bomb, both of which were detonated in or near popular nightclubs in Kuta, and a third much smaller device detonated outside the United States consulate in Denpasar, Bali, causing only minor damage. An audio cassette purportedly carrying a recorded voice message from Osama bin Laden stated that the Bali bombings were in direct retaliation for support of the United States war on terror and Australia's role in the liberation of East Timor. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service for South Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. In today's edition, it's on the government preparation in facing Trade Expo Indonesia 2015. The Indonesian government through the Ministry of the Commerce will host the 30th Trade Expo Indonesia, taking place from October 21st to 25th, 2015 at the Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran. The Ministry of Commerce is committed to maximize the increase in trade transactions by pushing the national export through the large-scale international trade fair. About 2,000 national companies will be involved in the international event, which is the largest in the Southeast Asian region. This was confirmed by the Director of Promotion and Image Development, Director General of Export Development Ministry of Trade, Pratnyawati, on the ministry's website. According to Pratnyawati, in an effort to improve the trade during the expo, the role of the Ministry of Commerce, Indonesian Trade Attaches, and Trade Promotion Center offices abroad have been optimized, especially in conducting intensive socialization and approaches to potential buyers so that they will join the expo. The 30th Trade Expo Indonesia 2015 is planned to be held in the exhibition area of 50,000 square meters that will display products and services divided into several zones, namely manufactured goods and services, furniture and furnishing, food, beverages and agricultural products, premium fashion, lifestyle and creative products, premium products from 34 Indonesian provinces, and garden furniture. In addition to a showcase for the best products in Indonesia, there will also be the Pride of Indonesia Pavilion, exhibiting a group of products and services from Indonesia companies which have recorded special achievement or good performances in the strategic industry sectors. They are, among others, the products of main tool system, weaponry, and biotechnology products such as environmentally friendly green material resources. Meanwhile, the Trade Expo Indonesia support team leader, Ambassador Nur Syahri Raharjo, to RRI World Service in Jakarta Saturday, said that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs will help coordinate the potential buyers, especially those from countries where there are Indonesian representatives.
Trade Expo yang akan diadakan dari tanggal 21 sampai 25 Oktober.
The Trade Expo, which will be held from October 21st to 25th in Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran, the preparation has been conducted since the beginning of this year by sending a letter to all representatives of Indonesia abroad to help coordinate the prospective buyer to be present in the expo. And to this day, the preparation is almost marginal, while occupancy is already 95%. The number of participants from abroad per October 2nd has reached 1,146 from 59 countries. Other preparations have also been ready. Akhir dari insertnya si Dubes Nur Syahri Raharjo. Furthermore, Ambassador Raharjo said the government is targeting $1 billion revenue in the Trade Expo Indonesia 2015. He hoped that the holding of Expo will increase the number of Indonesian exports by 300%, the number of tourist arrivals to Indonesia by 20 million people, and the value of foreign investment in the country by 15%, as instructed by the President Joko Widodo during his inauguration in October last year. In Trade Expo Indonesia this time, there will be an ASEAN pavilion presenting information from representatives of ASEAN countries in order to welcome the ASEAN Economic Community in 2015. A total of 9 ASEAN member countries have declared their participation this year, namely Brunei Darussalam, Philippines, Indonesia, Cambodia, Laos, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, and also Vietnam. Indonesian ASEAN Pavilion in connection with the Indonesian chairmanship in the Indian Ocean Rim Association, or IORA, the government will facilitate the provision of a special booth for IORA in Trade Expo Indonesia 2015. Well, listener, that was Focus from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here is our today's headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta, Monday, October 12, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily. In its headlines, Kompas writes, police is urged to trace fund flows. Iron sand mining in Lumajang Regency, East Java, is full of allegations on human rights violation and corruption. The murder of Salim, alias Kancil, is an iceberg phenomenon of letting mining conflicts by the state officials. Chairman of the National Human Rights Commission, Nur Kholis, urged the Indonesian police to trace the flow of money in illegal iron mine case in Lumajang. It searches the key to finding the involvement of state officials in the exclusion of the conflict that led to the death of Salim. Meanwhile, the region of Lumajang, as Ad Malik stated, sand mining permits issued by Lumajang government for normalization of river sediment of volcanic material from Mount Semeru. Media Indonesia writes, take a decisive action against forest burners. After being thinned, dense smoke caused by fires again blanketed parts of Sumatra. Limited visibility due to the smoke and fires is again constrained the process of extinguishing fire from the air. Head of National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, Willem Rampangile, in evaluation meeting after forest fire management operations and land in Palembang yesterday, said the extinguishing operation was not optimal because of strong winds, increasing fires and land burning, as well as thick haze which make very limited visibility. The team combined air operations from Indonesia, Singapore and Malaysia yesterday has made 161 water bombing by using 4 helicopters, 1 aircraft air tractor and 1 aircraft bombardier 415MP belonging to Malaysia in Pademaran district, Tulung Selapan, Air Sugihan and Cengal, Ogan, Komering Ilir and Banyu Asin. BNPB head confirms water bombing operations in the area of South Sumatra or Oki will continue today to maximize all foreign aid, including the use of chemical destruction efforts, fire and weather modification. And the last item, Tempo, in its headline writes, 9 people died due to haze. Casualties due to smoke haze in Indonesia are increasing. National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, said disasters caused by land and forest fires since last June has caused around 40 million people are exposed to smoke and 9 of them died. Head of Data and Information of the agency, Sutopo Purwo, said 2 of the 9 victims died are husband and wife, who died due to direct burning, and the rest are due to indirect exposure that is suffering from acute respiratory infections. And in addition to revealing the death toll, the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB South Sumatra, released the most critical areas. The region has the highest fire point, namely 7,982 points. And listener, that was headlines.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hoped on Saturday the train service connecting the city of Padang to Minangkabau International Airport would be operated in 2016. 18 pro-Australia participated in assisting to put out fires to forests and peatland fires in a number of areas in Indonesia, was scheduled to arrive in Palembang, Sumatra on Sunday. Director General of Construction at the Public Works Minister and Public Housing of Indonesia, Yoshitoib, called on domestic construction companies to improve their competitiveness and participate in the national construction business market. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister of Indonesia, Sudirman Said, has different perspective from Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Rizal Ramli over the Freeport's mining operation. Home Affairs Minister of Indonesia, Cahyokumolo, said the government hoped that 2017 simultaneous regional election would adopt the E14 system. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, reported that the haze crisis in Sumatra and Kalimantan have led at least 9
People died either directly or indirectly because of the haze and affected 40 million people. Supporting team leader of Trade Expo Indonesia, Teira Harjo, in an interview with Air World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Saturday, said that the Minister of Foreign Affairs will help coordinate potential buyers from various countries in the world. Agam Regency is one of the areas passed by the Tour de Singkarak 2015. In the 8th stage, Agam Regency becomes the finish line with the heaviest road for the cyclists. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Wayang Lingkang Puppet. Stay tuned. Listener, Wayang is Indonesian original art performance which has developed on Java and Bali Islands. On November 7, 2003, UNESCO decided Wayang, shadow puppet from Indonesia, as masterpiece of oral and intangible heritage of humanity. Recently, Wayang Festival 2015 was held at Museum of Fine Art and Ceramic to preserve Indonesian cultural heritage. This festival introduced 11 kinds of wayang to visitors. Listener, Wayang Festival 2015 was opened by Wayang Lingkang Performance with Tantan Sugandi as the puppeteer. He told about Sumantri Gengar story, which tells about the struggle of Bambang Sumantri to run after Dewi Citrawati. Wayang Lingkang is one of wayang types. It is a development of wayang golek or wooden puppet performance, the Sundanese typical wayang, which is played colossally by several puppeteers. The puppeteers consist of 20 until 50 persons. In the performance, Wayang Lingkang collaborated with other arts such as rampak kendang, dance, and wayang orang or human puppet. The show was performed on a 12-meter wide and 120-centimeter high stage. In the performance, the main puppeteer read the dialogue while other puppeteers played the wayang. Uniquely, the puppeteers played the wayang while standing. That's why the arena was set up higher than usual stage. Usually, the stage is around 70 cm high because the puppeteers usually play the wayang while sitting. While in Wayang Lingkang performance, the puppeteers must stand. To make all puppeteers can play behind the stage was made 2 times higher. The wayang performance is like other wayang performance in general, which are accompanied by gamelan and used Sundanese language with humorous style but still educating. Listener, earlier, an artist figure, Tantan Sugandi, tried to make collaboration art between theater and puppetry. So he made a new innovation in wooden puppet or wayang golek art of West Java. The masterpiece is called Rampak Dalang Art. Earlier, this work received opposition from many artists for being out of the rules and manners of wayang golek performances. In original wayang golek performance, a puppeteer usually sits down to play wayang, but in Rampak Dalang performance, the puppeteer is not alone. There can be more than 5 puppeteers. They have their own arena and stages. They stand to play their wayang. Therefore,
the stage is made higher. That's why conventional art figures accused that they were reduced the authority and identity of the puppeteers. Then, in early 2011, Tantan Sugandi created Wayang Ringkang as the development of Rampak Dalang. Ringkang means moving. In Wayang Ringkang, the puppeteer moves and dances like Wayang Orang or human puppet. Even Wayang Ringkang can be performed in 20 minutes without storyline. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Wayang Ringkang Puppet Show. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa. To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Membeli Perlengkapan Olahraga, which in English means buying sport equipments. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice, slowly, and you can repeat after me. Pulang kantor. Pulang kantor, which means after office. Membeli. Membeli, which means to buy. Perlengkapan olahraga. Perlengkapan olahraga, which means sport equipment. Berat badan. Berat badan, which means weight. Bertambah. Bertambah, which means increase or rise. Anggota. Anggota, which means member. Pusat kebugaran. Pusat kebugaran, which means fitness center. Olahraga. Olahraga, which means sport. Disiplin. Disiplin, which means discipline. Instruktur. Instruktur, which means instructor. Ahli gizi. Ahli gizi, which means nutritionist. Sepatu olahraga. Sepatu olahraga, which means sport shoes. Baju. Baju, which means clothes. Celana. Celana, which means trouser. Handuk kecil. Handuk kecil, which means small towel. Baju renang. Baju renang, which means swimsuit. Tunggu. Tunggu, which means wait. Tempat parkir mobil. Tempat parkir mobil, which means parking lot. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Membeli Perlengkapan Olahraga, or in English means buying sport equipments. The conversation is between A. Ika and B. Mary at the office. A. Ika. Pulang kantor, saya mau ke mall. Pulang kantor, saya mau ke mall, which means I want to go to mall after office. Saya mau membeli perlengkapan olahraga. Saya mau membeli perlengkapan olahraga, which means I will buy sport equipments. B. Mary. Akhir-akhir ini saya merasa berat badan saya bertambah. Akhir-akhir ini saya merasa berat badan saya bertambah, which means I think my weight increased. Oleh karena itu, saya mau menjadi anggota pusat kebugaran. Oleh karena itu, saya mau menjadi anggota pusat kebugaran. Which means, so, I want to be a member of fitness center. Karena berolahraga di sana harus disiplin. Karena berolahraga di sana harus disiplin. Which means, because we should be disciplined to do exercise there. Selain itu, di sana ada instrukturnya. Selain itu, di sana ada instrukturnya. Which means, in addition, there is also the instructor. Di sana juga ada ahli gizi. Di sana juga ada ahli gizi, which means an nutritionist. A. Ika. Kamu mau membeli perlengkapan olahraga apa saja? Kamu mau membeli perlengkapan olahraga apa saja? Which means, what sport equipments do you want to buy? B. Mary. Saya mau membeli sepatu olahraga. Saya mau membeli sepatu olahraga, which means, I want to buy sport shoes. Baju dan celana olahraga. Baju dan celana olahraga, which means sport shoes, serta handuk kecil. Serta handuk kecil, which means and small towel. A. Ika. Kita pergi bersama. Kita pergi bersama, which means let's go together. Saya juga mau membeli baju renang. Saya juga mau membeli baju renang, which means I also want to buy swimsuit. Kamu tunggu saya di tempat parkir mobil ya. Kamu tunggu saya di tempat parkir mobil ya. Which means wait for me at the parking lot, okay? Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which presents you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presenting Kroncong songs dedicated by M. Rifani. Well, listener, now we'll play the first song entitled Kroncong Sapulidi by M. Rifani. The song Sapulidi is one of our regional Kroncong songs composed by NN. The song consisted of three parts of ABC to be sung twice. Other original Kroncong songs, namely Kroncong Dewi Murni, composed by Sari Wono and Uchin N, Kroncong Suci composed by Ismail Marzuki. The song has lyrics like poem that dedicates messages about life philosophy that was taken from coconut tree. The message of the song tells about inner beauty and the spirit to fight for beloved nation. Listener, let's listen to a Kroncong song entitled Ariati by M. Rifani.
Ariati di kamar asuhan rendah, Ariati di kau gemilang seni pujaan, dosa kehampa dengan Tuhan. Ujung jarimu ku cium mesra tadi malam. Dosa kehamba mawar di taman hayalku, tak mungkin Tuhan terpetik daku. Namun aku bahagia 1001 Dosakah hamba mimpi berkasih dengan Tuhan? Ujung jarimu ku cium mesra tadi malam. Dosakah hamba mungkin yang terpetik daku. Namun aku bahagia seribu satu malam.
Listener, the song Aryati composed by Ismail Marzuki in 1940s. Although the song was popular in a struggling period of Indonesia, the song also completed with love story. The song is still enjoyed by music lovers until at present. Like the song with the theme of love, the song Aryati also has romantic lyrics by giving a symbol of flowers for a beautiful girl, such as the rose and jasmine. Well, listener, to conclude today's segment of Music Corner, we'll dedicate to you the last two songs entitled Telaga Dewa and Pasir Putih by M. Rifani. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Memecahkan sunyi.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.